we got a job. I'm talking millions this time. Can you still crack a safe? Or did you get carpal tunnel from jacking off? I know we left on bad terms.
You tried to murder me. Why are you even out of the joint anyway?
Early release, overcrowding.
Must have been packed to the gills so they couldn't cram your 3-foot ass in there.
Welcome into another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie, and the only rule of the podcast is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. We are back on our Christmas theme. We are very happy to welcome Brandon Shackelford back onto the show. The last time you were on the show, we did a scary movie for October. We only have you on for festive occasions. You're not just coming in to do a random film.
I'm just a festive kind of guy.
So today's movie is Bad Santa 2. This movie was released November 23rd of 2016 with a runtime of 92 minutes. I watched this movie on Paramount Plus, but you can also watch this movie on Pluto TV. This podcast has a special place in its heart for Pluto TV,
Tubi,
Freevee, and Tubi. You can always rely on those three.
All the free streaming apps like this, yeah, top tier choices.
So, Bad Santa is rated a 5.6 on IMDb with 29,000 views. The plot of the movie, fueled by cheap whiskey, greed, and hatred, Willie teams up once again with his angry little sidekick, Marcus, to knock off a Chicago charity on Christmas Eve. The budget for this movie was $26 million. It made $24.1 million at the box office, which is less than a third of what the first one made. The first one made $76.5 million. You don't really see this too often. Now, we see a lot of sequels that don't live up to the hype of the first movie, but a third of the first one? This was a flop by almost every single metric.
We were talking pre-show about just the idea of, I don't think Bad Santa is one of those movies that brings people to the theater. The novelty of the original one, because you hadn't seen anything like that, where it's like a kind of a Bad News Bears type Santa Claus that's just a terrible person. I think that it didn't really register with people to go see the second version of that again. So I think that's why it didn't do as well the second time around.
Yeah, I don't think that this movie really has any of the magic that the first one has. And we'll obviously get to that over the course of the podcast on why I think this one, the first one is a confirmed Christmas classic.
Right.
I don't think anyone speaks of this second one in the same regard, and we'll get to it. Let me give you the cast. Billy Bob Thornton returns as Willie. Kathy Bates joins the cast. She is Sunny. Tony Cox returns as Marcus Skidmore. Christina Hendricks is Diana Hastings. And Brett Kelly, he returns as Thurman Merman. That is basically the cast of the film. There's a couple other characters, but that's the cast of this movie. Let me give you the box office for that week. Moana, talk about coming full circle. Moana 2 is currently in the box office. Moana debuted that week. $82 million it debuted in the box office. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was number 2. Doctor Strange was $19.5 million. Did you go see Doctor Strange in theater?
I did. Of course you know I did.
I just making sure.
Yeah, come on, Marvel. That's me.
Are you still on Marvel movies? Because Rob is kind of in and out
on
Marvel.
I'm locked in. Locked in, lock and step. Anything Marvel does, go to me.
Are you going to see this Kraven the Hunter or whatever is coming out in a couple?
That's Sony.
Okay.
That's Sony doing Marvel movies. I don't care about that.
So that's kind of like how Venom is. Venom ain't really that. That ain't real.
No, that's not. That ain't real.
So you're saying Marvel's Polo and you're saying that this is like USPA. That's what we're saying.
It's attached, but it ain't the same.
Allied was fourth that week at $17.7 million. Arrivals was at $15.7 million. That rounds out the top five. Trolls was at $14 million. Bad Santa 2 debuted at number 7 with $9.1 million. You do not greenlight this project to have that kind of failure at the box office.
The interesting part about that is, too, because there's so many, not during that time period, but you think about the three people that have, like, actual critical acclaimed success, Kathy Bates, Billy Bob Thornton, Octavia Spencer as the prostitute. You're like, these are all people with actual cachet in Hollywood. And you're like, it didn't bring people out. And it's also funny that they're in this random movie that you're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I guess let's start with this when it comes to this movie. Sometimes, and I know you've heard this, like you've heard somebody tell a joke, and boy, it was funny that first time they told the joke. And then they tell the joke around a new cast of characters, and a joke just don't really hit the same. Like it was one of those, you had to be there to hear it the first time.
Right.
That's kind of what I feel happened here when it comes to this movie. And I would also argue that's kind of what happened to Ted as well.
Yeah.
Like Ted was incredible the first time they tried to tell the same joke again, and just Ted 2 just, Ted 2 just didn't really register. The biggest reason why I think this movie pales in comparison to the first one is there's something magic about the relationship between Thurman and Billy Bob Thornton's character because he's a kid. Like, you feel for the kid. He doesn't really have any guidance at home. His grandma is, I don't know where, what planet she is on, but it is not Earth. And you like, you have an emotional connection. And I think the movie really pays itself off at the end where Willie realizes, hey, this kid looks up to me. I'm this kid's role model. I'm going to make sure that this kid has a good Christmas. This movie to me doesn't give you any of the emotional connection of the first one. And that's a big place of where it falls off.
I can kind of see that. I think a lot of it is the novelty of the original movie that brings, like, telling a joke the second time around. The formula is the same, but if it doesn't kind of veer in any way different than the original, it kind of gets redundant. And I think that's what Bad Santa 2 is. It's the same joke again without any kind of, like, deviation to anything specific. Like, he's still robbing something. It's still his sidekick blackmailing him or trying to backstab him. It's the same joke again without any kind of deviation. The only thing is that location's different now. And so, like, without having some kind of, like, alteration to the story, you're still getting Willie as this heart of gold person who is terrible but still has some kind of redeeming quality. It's exactly the same movie, but just kind of, like, you want to have some kind of formula that changes something in it, but the only thing you can see is Thurman's 21 now.
Yeah.
And the sort of dynamic between them two changed, but it's still kind of the same. He still talks to him like he's just nothing.
I would say the movie just doesn't have three very important characters in the first one that you like.
Right.
It doesn't have the girlfriend character who I thought was pretty good. Like, she was a very endearing character in the movie. Bernie Mac, he gets killed off in the first one, and he's not in this one. And John Ritter, RIP. So, like, you just lost three very important people with the cast and thought that you were just simply going to run it back with Billy Bob Thornton, who obviously is very important in the first one. But, like, Billy Bob is not the only reason why that movie was so special the first time.
Right. Like you said, Bernie Mac was a driving force of the reason why I watched the original movie, because Bernie Mac was, in that time period, was the guy still. So you're just like, and then you, like you said, you had John Ritter, who was still coming off. I think his sitcom was on TV at that time period, too. So he had cachet for that time period, too. So it was a lot of reasons for people to go see that, because there were names that were attributed to things that they knew. This had, like, I think Christina Hendricks, I don't think she. I think that's Mad Men time around that. So she had a little bit
racked up, shorty.
Yeah, and then
like I just spent. Yeah.
I was like, let me touch that one. But other than that, you had Tony Cox again back in there. But there's, I mean, Kathy Bates. But it's not like you had, like, the hitters. Like, you didn't have. I didn't have any, I guess, African-American character that drew me to seeing the movie. I think I saw this originally the first time at home because it was on TBS or TNT.
Yeah.
And I was like, Bad Santa 2.
I just can't imagine watching this movie edited, too. Like, just, you know, part of it is, like, the crude and the humor of it. They're, like, trying to watch it, like, you know, watered down for television. Has to be miserable. It does make you appreciate the movies that have got the comedy sequel right.
Right.
You know, American Pie, it was the same concept of a movie, but, like, you grew up with those characters. You love it. Rush Hour 2, a lot of people would argue Rush Hour 2 is funnier than the first Rush Hour. Like, they've done these before. Ultimately, I think this is in the same vein as The Hangover. I understand they're two different kind of movies, but if you want the feel of The Hangover, why would you ever watch the second and the third one? Watch the first one.
Yeah,
the first one's iconic. The first one's classic.
Yeah.
No one ever quotes the second or third one. No one ever quotes Bad Santa 2. When you think of Bad Santa, you forget Bad Santa 2 even happened. You only care about the first one.
You can watch that one time and you're good. You can watch Bad Santa every holiday if you wanted to, and it still works. Bad Santa 2, you just need to watch it once.
Yeah, because Bad Santa is, it's the anti-hero. It is the Deadpool of Christmas movies. All Christmas movies are feel-good, warm, fuzzy family films. This is a movie for you and your wife to go see. You're not watching this with the kids. You watch this when the kids go to bed. That was the appeal of the first one.
I watch it with my child.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a horrible parent. I'm sorry. He's also 14, so.
Our movie begins, and things are not looking so hot for our friend Willie, and he's just about at his end. We are reintroduced to our small friend Marcus. He's back and has another holiday score lined up. This time, even bigger payout, $2 million. The theme of this movie is that greed will always win. Willie knew not to trust his mom.
Yep.
Willie knew not to trust Marcus, yet was going along with their plan for the entire movie. Like, you knew eventually one of them was going to double cross. You're like, why did you go along with this plan?
I mean, that idea is so funny to me because, like, all I need to do is get backstabbed by somebody one time and they try to kill me. And I'm like, no, we're not working together yet. What? I was like, I don't care how much money you give me. Like, I got one more job. Like, last time I worked with you, you tried to kill me, brother. Nah. We good. I'm not hopping back in the band, brother. You good.
In hindsight, would you cut the Sherry Shepherd scene, the prostitute scene?
It feels out of place, but I get it. It also kind of uses as escape for him to get out of there. So, like, no, it's weird, but I get why it's there, because it's like he's able to escape away from Thurman Merman at that point. That name is just weird saying, too.
Thurman Merman.
Thurman Merman.
It was just so crazy to see him as an adult because, like, you know, there's some characters that, like, you only see them as kids. Like, it's hard to see Jaleel White walking around here like, bro, you're Urkel. Like, you should stay 17 in my mind the entire time. Like, I don't want to see grown-up Mary-Kate and Ashley. Like, no, you stayed 7 years old. Seeing Thurman Merman as, like, a 21-year-old was wild.
And they said he gained weight because he had lost so much weight as he got older, and he gained weight specifically for the role.
So he can be Thurman Merman again. Can you imagine, like, being him and, like, going to school? Like, just think about it. Like, yo, you were the little kid in Bad Santa?
Yeah, that's one of the things you think about, too, a lot of with child actors, especially because child actors who don't, they just have one big role. They got to go back to their regular life. They ain't like they on a sitcom doing, like, 10-plus seasons. Like, you did one big role in a movie that was, like, something that maybe got like 30 million, 40 million in the bank, you still got to go back to school.
Yeah, 100%.
And especially if it's like a crude movie, all the kids gonna be trying to tell you them same jokes like this. Brother, I'm trying to do my math right now.
And I mean, it's not like, because, you know, I love Boy Meets World. It's one of my favorite, you know, kind of teen sitcoms. Like, you know, Topanga and them have just kind of leaned into it. Like, we're going to do a podcast where we explain what we were feeling and growing up. I'm rewatching Sopranos, a big reason why I kept coming up on my algorithm. You know, Meadow and AJ have a podcast where they talk about basically growing up on the show. AJ was 14 when he started on that show and ended as an adult. You know, the show spanned for so long. Like, I do wonder, what do you do next? Like, this movie's not Home Alone. Like,
right.
We look at Macaulay Culkin. He's going on tour where they show the movie and he talks like, me, you're the kid from Home Alone. I want to hear you speak. Right. Don't nobody want to hear Thurman Merman. Don't nobody want to hear that. This time they are not robbing a Macy's. They are robbing Giving City, a charity. We meet the husband and wife combo. Well, there's a little bit of a secret. Billy Bob is told they're going to be doing the job with a secret associate. Well, we learn the associate is his estranged mother. His mother gives him the lowdown on how the three of them can take the cash, and he is needed to break into the safe. Willie doesn't trust either party for obvious reasons, but still goes along with their plan. His mother is sick. That's obviously their motivation. Willie agrees to do it, but only if the mom is cut out of the final pot. One thing about this movie, too, I'm not going to say it's endearing to rob the Macy's, but, like, all of us, like, hate big business and corporation, right? Like, at our core, we all hate it. Ain't nothing wavy about you stealing from the Salvation Army charity.
The funniest thing, I was thinking about that too. I guess because, like, there is a kind of dark side to the whole Salvation Army side that some people made were like this. Yeah, go ahead and just get that money from them. But it was interesting. I think the funniest thing is just that it wasn't called Salvation Army, but it was everything Salvation Army 100%. Does. The red little buckets. You don't see too many red buckets with the Santa Claus out there shaking. That's not Salvation Army. So, yeah, I didn't feel bad about the Salvation Army side of it, but I get it's a little bit more.
I am all for the giving and the holiday spirit. I'm not going out there for free, standing out in the cold to jingle that bell to take your cash donations. No. I'm not doing that. I'm sorry.
Not for the
I'm
nickels
happy
and
to
dimes.
Give. I'm happy to donate.
Yeah.
Hey, you want me to donate to a coach for kids? Happy to do so. You want me to donate to Toys for Tots? I just sponsored a foster kid to pay. Hey, I'm happy to do my part for Christmas. I've been blessed. I'm happy to give back. Bro, I ain't standing outside in no Santa costume, dog. I can't do it.
No, especially think about the frigidness of Chicago, even though they shot it in Montreal, which is still cold,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, which is cold in Chicago.
Yeah, like this, but it's like I've like I said, I do a lot of volunteer work. I have soup kitchens, all that. Those places are warm. Standing outside in the cold, shaking a bell and asking for nickels and dimes is just that's not my kind of volunteer work. I need to be warm when I'm helping people. I can't be cold and I can't feel my fingers.
I always remember it coming to America where she says, we appreciate the money that jingles, but we want the money that folds.
Everybody
knows that line. That always cracks me up in the movie. Willie is out trying to raise money for the charity and gets into an altercation with another Santa who is trying to claim his spot. This is actually my favorite scene of the movie where they are fighting outside and he's like, this guy's a kid diddler is the funniest part of the movie to me.
He kept saying pedophile. I was like, what is this? That was making me laugh.
You are standing on my spot.
Really, that's funny. I don't see your fucking name on it anywhere.
Oh, in fairness, I did leave it unattended, but that's only because I had to run off to the little boy's room.
What are you, a fucking game show host or something? Dial it back a notch.
But now I am back. Ho, 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 ho. 'Tis the season of giving. And if you don't have cash, you can always text Xmas 9.
Bullshit. No fucking way. Fucking cash only. $10 or more. Hundreds or better. What?
So the first lady of the charity bails Willie out and is about to give him his walking paper. He reeks of whiskey, and that's a violation of the rules. But Willie smooth talks his way out of being let go. We also learn that the head of the charity is Mr. Nasty Man, which seems like it's going to come up again later in the movie. We also find out that he is ripping off the charity. No one is pure. Well, maybe the first lady is, but we'll later find out she is not pure either. While the midget is filming Mr. Nasty Man in the action, his phone goes off. Don't forget to pop that pussy. Mr. Nasty Man wants his wife tracked because he thinks she's spying in on him. One of the flaws of this movie to me is the movie then shows the head of the charity as like a bad guy and a sexual deviant. And it's not really part of the plot of the movie at all. Like, right. I get it. It's a comedy, right? It's in there for the comedic evidence. But, like, we found out basically that he was embezzling money and cheating on his wife secretly behind our back. And it never really is a part of the vehicle of telling the story of the movie.
I think it's just one of those character development things that their overall arching story
but
is.
He's also not really in the movie, though. Like, the head of the charity, the main guy, he's not really the antagonist or the villain of the movie either.
No, they want the idea of no one having being virtuous. So they want that to be a part of the story where it's like, okay, see, he's obviously bad too, so you don't feel bad about them stealing money.
Yeah.
And everybody in that movie is pretty much the worst people possible. Even the wife of the charity, like, she's good, but she's also hooking up with Willie, and you're like, well, that can't be good, especially in an alleyway. That's just terrible. That's you got to be down on your luck to do that in the alley. I'm just sorry. You're rich. Come on. Let's go to a hotel. I don't do this.
She liked the dirty like that. Liked the dirty.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, man. I want you to keep it a buck 150 with me on the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast. Which one you knocking off? You knocking off the lady security guard, or you knocking off the head of the charity?
I told you before, Christina Hickerson, she does it for me. I wouldn't turn down.
It's the red hair and the big boobs. That's what it is.
It is the red.
Because she's not like drop dead now. I mean, in the movie, I mean, I've seen her in like Mad Men and other things. She is attractive.
I've seen her on the red carpet.
I don't know, man. There's something about that security guard that kind of does it for me. I can't lie. I don't know what it is.
That's your type?
That's not my type, but something about her in this movie kind of turned me on a little bit.
I wouldn't turn it down. She was hella aggressive.
Okay, like that scene wherever she's talking to Marcus after Marcus is trying to pop and doesn't pop, and she's kind of letting him down easy, right? And then the other Santa comes by and smacks her on the ass. The way she responds to that,
I know.
I'm like, I like her.
Yeah, she's like, hey. I was like, I like her.
Man,
I was like, oh, man, everybody just want to crack.
That's kind of my type.
I told you. Everybody in the office cracking. I don't want no parts.
You know what? I actually kind of felt for Marcus here. It's bad when you don't know everybody done here.
Yeah.
And you the one that came.
And you took her out?
No. You got her to Lobsters.
You rented a Chrysler 300. 200 in for?
Goodness gracious. You got to give me one shot. Let me prove myself, baby girl.
You can't get the cheeks.
No, man. Get nothing.
And the only people say, hey, they got some.
Bro, like, that's crazy. Oh, Billy Bob did no work the entire movie and still popped.
Billy Bob was drunk at the bar and blacked out. She was like, what's up with it? He's like, I guess.
That's crazy, man. So Mr. Nasty Man gets word that his wife and Willie were together at an AA meeting. Mom picks up a side gig so the two can bond over breaking one of the Ten Commandments. The only thing I wrote about this scene is, I don't know if you noticed this or not. Did you know what the kid asked for Christmas? One of the kids asked for Grand Theft Auto 5 for Christmas. We haven't got Grand Theft Auto 6 yet.
So my son was mentioning all the games that he was actually asking. He's like, what year did this come out? I was like this. And he said Grand Theft Auto 5. I was like this. Well, that's still the most recent Grand Theft Auto. He was like, yeah, that's right.
Just think about this, though. Moana came out the same weekend. We have already gotten Moana 2. And we still don't have the next edition of Grand Theft Auto. Yo, I'm telling you, in 2025, they better have something magical.
I got faith in Rocksteady. It's going to be crazy.
They always are crazy. I'm saying, but for how long it's taken and how they done bled every DLC content out of this. Oh,
I dislike that part of it. I blame everybody who's buying all those remastered versions of San Andreas. I'm like, this. See, y'all just encourage
me. I feel like everybody has done it. I got the remaster, and they've now sold it on so many different console generations. You have it on multiple consoles. We all have given. I would love to see the final number. We'll never get the number. I would love to see how much money Grand Theft Auto 5 has generated. Oh, I bet good. The number is.
Oh, it's
is something. It's. $3 billion or something.
Because they broke the bank when it first dropped out. They had broke like the record for video game sales at that time period. So that game is still getting sold. So yeah, their number is crazy. I have faith that Grand Theft Auto 6 will probably
be. They're knocking 6 out of the park, especially now with the new consoles, next generation, they're knocking out of the park. Are we 100% certain 6 is going to be the biggest video game release of all time?
I think so.
Yeah. I'd love to. Like, that first 24 hours of digital sales, they're going to tell us a number like, yo, what in the world did they just do?
People are going to be buying a console just to play that game.
Because think about it. Like, for the college football video game, they were talking about, like, how many people just bought the super deluxe version to play the game 3 days earlier. It's like, man, they made, like, $14 million just off people like me that, like, man, I've been waiting so long for this. I want to play the game early. Bro, the Grand Theft Auto release is going to be, it's going to be insane. It makes me miss the old midnight release at GameStop. Oh my God.
I think that this might be one of them games I take off for. I want a full day.
Yeah, that first day is going to be crazy, man. It's going to be crazy. So his mom gives him a gun. Willie's mom gives him a gun and tells him to watch out for the midget. He's already been double crossed once and she doesn't want to give Marcus another chance to do it. Our guy Thurman Merman arrives in Chicago and meets up with our criminal trio. The midget has still been unsuccessful in securing the key from the lady security guard, but Willie, he has success. Willie is still trying to leave Thurman behind, but he realizes that he will never be able to shake the little man. They are family. This is what I'm talking about, the heart that was in the first one that's not in this one. They kind of tried to get to it there. Yeah. They had a couple of moments of this. That scene in the laundromat.
Yep.
The scene where Thurman is singing, and we're all like, wow, Will, he can actually kind of sing a little bit. And in the middle of robbing the charity, he stops to listen to him, and he notices, like, there are moments of compassion in this movie. I just don't think the movie really fleshed it out. To me, the movie tried to beat you over the head with, this movie's raunchier than the first one.
Yeah.
And that's obviously part of the bad Santa formula, but it's also the fact of, in the end, you made this criminal a very loving character at the end of Bad Santa 2, or Bad Santa, and you didn't do that in the sequel.
They tried, but it was one of those close but not close enough situations. Because, like you said, you had those moments in the laundromat. You had the when they were breaking into the actual foundation or charity at the end where he stops and listens to Thurman Merman. Sing, and he's singing in front of the choir, and it's obviously resigned. It's getting too Willy. The connection there, and he sees him and waves to him. And I'm like, that was a touching moment. And it's one, again, it's the idea of saying, hey, even though Willie is a horrible person, he has some redeeming qualities that makes him human. Like, even when he's beating up a pedophile, you're like, this guy's a kid dealer. Everybody get your kids away. You're like, what?
So Mama tells Willie what her ultimate plan is. It's for the pair to go to Mexico and spend Christmas together. She also wants to cut Marcus out of the coin. Thurman has joined the choir and wants Willie to come to his performance. He knows they're not family, but Willie is the only family that he still has. It's time for the performance, and we find out that Thurman is actually a really good singer. The plan is in action as Mom and Marcus are looking to steal the loot. Their plan may be foiled, though, as the head security guard, so this is the male security guard, who is kind of the movie, but not really in the movie.
It's like a knockoff bad John Ritter.
Yeah. That's kind of one of the things, like, I understand his purpose in the movie, but, like, I don't know. He just didn't really have many great scenes to me. He uncovers who they actually are.
I think the scene, not to break it up, the scene that he had with Marcus when he was talking about...
Earlier in the movie.
He was like, when he said something about his wife, he was like this. I was like, my wife's been dead for 6 months. He's like, makes the...
He said, makes it even better. Then he walked up.
I was like, well, excuse me, sir.
So as Willie gets the safe open, Marcus tries to rob him again.
World's gonna be a better place without the fucking...
Sweet Jesus, you made it.
What's the fucking Santa Claus outfit all about?
Now step the fuck back.
What are you doing, Runt?
It's called thinning the herd. World's gonna be a better place without the fucking soaps in it. I'm gonna live like a king this time. A fucking sultan.
Not in this lifetime, Sparky. The bag goes with me.
You mean with us?
No, I mean me.
The fuck did you just say?
When I said this was my last job, I meant it was my last job with you.
I knew I should have left the second I saw your miserable fucking face.
I ain't falling for this twice, dog.
Yeah.
This would be like if Blue Streak, if Martin Lawrence signed up with that white dude to go rob another diamond. Like, bro, you don't know that this, come, what are we doing here? He already turned on you the first time. Now you about to stop it. What are you doing?
It reminds me of the great words from George Bush. Fool me once, shame on me. Can't fool me again.
Can't get fooled again. We learn that there are no honor amongst thieves because Mama shoots Marcus after turning on Willie. It's time for a car chase as Mom has decided to run off with the coin. She has a smart idea to head to SantaCon to try to blend in with all the other Santa Claus to evade the police. Well, Willie eventually catches his mom, who shoots him. In their tussle as the bag rips, Mom goes to shoot Willie again, but this time she shoots Thurman in the arse as Thurman goes to protect his dear friend Willie. This is kind of basically the end of the movie. There's still like a little bit more, but like this is the conclusion of the movie. Where again, man, my biggest theme on this is just like the heart and compassion that's there. Like, this movie, honestly, to me, needed more Thurman than anything. That's what this movie needed more of. Thurman gives it the likability of just, Thurman loves Willie, man. The fact that it was just oblivious to the fact that he was about to get shot. But like, he was willing to take a bullet for him. Then even after he takes the bullet, he's like, I'm fine. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah. Like, even in that moment, Thurman is more concerned with Billy Bob's character than he is for himself, who he's the one that got shot.
I don't take away that. And I don't negate what you're saying. I just don't think the movie needed more Thurman just because he's kind of off-putting for me. Like, I'm like, I get what you're saying. Like, totally, like, he's like the heart, the only person that seems like he is the virtuous character of the story because he doesn't know any better. He has obviously some kind of either mental limitations or he's just deprived of human interactions. His only human interactions were with people who were bullying him or people who really didn't love him. So I get it, but I think they should have done a little bit better job of focusing on Willie's growth. He was essentially the same character from one, but like at the end of one, he was like, oh, I'm going to become a counselor.
Yeah.
And like, but when he comes back around, he's obviously the same person he was in the second one. Yep. He had any kind of growth at all. He could have had a minuscule amount of growth, but it was essentially the same dude from, he was throwing up in alleyways, hooking up with random ladies again. It's like, yeah,
Doug, Marcus right? too.
Marcus had no growth either.
100%.
Like he was the same backstabbing plan. To, I was like, you have the same plan again? This time you don't have your wife with you?
Yeah.
I'm like, Doug, what? You're doing the same thing again. Like, that's insanity. To try the same plan twice without any kind of deviation? Okay.
On Rotten Tomatoes, they give Bad Santa an approval rating of 23%, loaded up with the same humor as its predecessor, but precious little of its heart or genuine wit. Bad Santa 2 presents a foul-mouthed shadow of Christmas past. Alec Welch of IGN. It is cool to me how IGN has really become a hub for all things pop culture. Like, you know, you and I remember IGN when it was like just starting and building. Now it's, if you need a tech review, if you need a movie review, a video game review, you go to IGN for those things. They've done a really good job of branding themselves as, if you want to know what's going on in pop culture.
I don't even know what IGN stands for no more. I think the G stands for gaming.
I think it's Internet Gaming Network. That's what I would guess IGN stands for. But no, I don't know either. Alex Welch says, quote, that it does little to dispel the notion that most sequels are not needed. So that are the reviews for Bad Santa 2. What do you think Bad Santa 2 gets right?
The raunchiness. It's obviously more raunchy than the original. I will go and say I did not laugh. I laughed a lot through the movie because it's, I have a level of sophomore humor, so I enjoy those kind of jokes. It'll make you cringe.
Our generation is always going to find these kind of movies funny. I do wonder what comedy movies looks like, you know, is
20 years
from
now.
Yeah. And you know, your kid's 14. Like, what's going to be that movie that kind of pushes the edge from a comedy standpoint for him?
Right.
We had 10, 15 of those kind of movies. This just feels like a genre of movie that just, it's done. It's out of here.
Cause it's, like I said, you look at it through the 2025, 2024 lens. I'm sorry. I'm early. I'm saying 2025 already, but you look at it through the lens of how we look at things now. And it kind of, you can see how someone with specifically that kind of, they'll be like, oh no, I'm not watching this. Cause I can imagine somebody who is born directly in this time period watching this movie and be like, this is terrible. Why? What is this? Why is this movie get made? But for us, I was born in the 80s. This is humorous. It's silly. It's you know, it's not the things you're supposed to say. You're not supposed to live like this. Like, for what it's worth, Billy Bob Thornton's character is like the opposite of everything you should do in life. He should be like a guidebook of like, don't do any of the things I'm doing. I'm terrible. But like, I think what it got right really is the raunchiness. It's crude. It's funny. It's a good movie to watch if you go into it knowing that I'm just watching this for the nasty jokes. This is Andrew Dice Clay in 85, I guess. I'm just telling my penis jokes and vagina jokes for you. That's it.
I'm going to say the two new women characters, I'm going to say Christina Hendricks and the lady security guard. I'm going to say both of them. It is kind of funny to me that this movie would have three sex scenes. They are three different kind of scenes, and I would say funny in their own right. Like, you could have very easily missed on those three scenes where you were like, no, because they tried the scene earlier with Sherry Shepherd, and to me, that scene's just not that funny to me. Like, I probably would have cut that from the movie, but like, the actual three scenes they had, I found each of them funny in their own way. I'm going to say that's what they got right. I'll throw something new in there.
You thought they were different? I thought they were pretty much the same scene. Like, of just different locations.
No, yeah, that part. But just like, I don't know, the first one made me laugh.
Fine, get in. Regent and I haven't had sex in over a decade. We stay together for the charity. I'm a good girl, Mr. Cook, but sometimes I need to be bad. Now get your filthy ass in the car.
See, that's what I thought.
Which is like, it's dirty, call me Santa. And then when she finally says it the second time in the Christmas,
kids are right there. And I was like, somebody watch this like this.
I laugh. Then when he gets the hand soap for the last one, I ain't gonna lie. These three were funny to me. Yeah, I laugh.
I think the last two were funniest to me. The first one was just funny because it's an alleyway. And I was like this. Yeah. I can't imagine somebody being that desperate for sex. Be like this. Yeah. We're gonna do this in this alleyway over here. Oh no, not. I got a little bit more class.
What I think the movie gets wrong is, I've kind of mentioned the heart part of it, so I'll pick something else. I think this movie could have used one comedian in the movie.
Yeah.
Like Bernie Mac, you know, if Bernie Mac is going to stamp your comedy, that comes with a certain level of
gravitas.
Approval. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You really just tried to sell this movie on, hey, we're going to do the same movie again with the small guy and Billy Bob Thornton and the kid is now an adult. That's kind of the appeal of this movie. You would have been really good to maybe have the director be a funny person.
Right.
Be Dane Cook. be somebody that, like, another person to put on the box office, another person to put on the ticket, and somebody to play off of. This movie doesn't have, even without the heart, this movie doesn't have the story of the first one, right? Like, John Ritter, who runs the security, he's kind of looking out. The husband was a doofus in this movie. The man security guard was a doofus. This movie's story's just not that good. Yeah. This movie thought you were going to go see it solely because you liked the first one. And America told you, no, I'm not going to see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know specifically what I would say it's missing, because, like, we both covered a lot of the bad parts, which is lacking the heart, lacking the story. Yeah, I don't really know what I would... We've already pretty much covered the things that we did like about the movie. The heart, the comedy was a great point too, as well. I don't know specifically what I mean, cause there's not a lot that else is missing. I mean, it's funny where it needs to be funny. I think that if there was anything I would change, I would definitely do a better job of showing, which is kind of still going to your point of the redemption arc, or the alteration of character from Billy Bob from the first movie. He's essentially, like I said before, he's essentially the same character. I think they could have done better, maybe a flashback here or there of the upbringing Willie had with his mom. That could have gave a little bit better story.
That's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
That would have gave a lot more story. But opposed to them just kind of saying what is, show like a flashback of them, because the movies do really well with that, the aspect of showing like a quick flashback to show the turmoil and all the strife that Kathy Bates' character put Billy Bob through as a child.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, to your point about having a flashback, is the movie never ever makes you think that his mom is going to be a good character. You are almost from the beginning, no, oh, you can't trust her. Right. And in the end, you were proven right on it. Like, it doesn't really throw you for a loop.
But she backstabs him at the end, yeah.
Yeah, and the other person who backstabbed you in the first one, also backstabbed you again. So, like, you never gave me a reason to believe that his mom was an endearing character, and ultimately that paid itself off in the end. So this movie was rated a 5.6 on IMDb. I'm going to tell you right now, that's too high. I would rate this movie a 5.1.
The points is always funny, because I'm always like, I just would round. Yeah, I think because if you did it like this, you'll round it up to a 6, and it can't be a 6. So you do it, I would give it a 5.3, because I feel like if you round it, you have to round it down to at least a 5. I don't think it's as bad as a 4.
Because four is unwatchable. Yeah. This movie's not unwatchable.
It's good enough for a good laugh if your humor aligns with it. But I don't think it's definitely not a 4, but it's not good enough for a 6. I feel like a 6 is a little bit above average. This is average at best.
This was another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie, and the only rule of the podcast is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Brandon, we will see you again for Black History Month. That is the only time we can have you. It has to be a themed month. You know, you come in for October. You come in for Christmas movies. We'll bring you back for Black History
Month. You know, President's Month is January, right?
next week's movie is going to be Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Rob has told me he will do next week's podcast. I'm very excited to watch Jingle All the Way. It is one of my favorite Christmas movies. We appreciate you guys listening. Happy holidays from everybody here on the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast.